Get your Bibles, please. Turn to Psalm 105. Psalm 105. We're going to read several verses together. We're going to kind of skip around a little bit. Somebody deal with that sinner in the aisle. Oh, it's Donnie. Psalm 105. I had to do that. I'm sorry. Psalm 105. We're going to read several verses in unison. We're not going to do any responsive reading tonight. I want to just take some time tonight. Brother Hiles used to say it this way. This is one of those sermons. We might not go anywhere. We're just going to take the top down on the car and drive around town for a while. And that's what tonight is. Psalm 105. Read verse 1 with me. Ready? Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Look down in verse number 13. And let's read verses 13 and 14. Ready? When they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sake. And let's look at verse 24. Excuse me. Let's read it out loud. Ready? And he increased his people greatly and made them stronger than their enemies. And look at verse 43, 44, and 45. And let's read all three of these verses together. Ready? And he brought forth his people with joy and his chosen with gladness and gave them the lands of the heathen. And they inherited the labor of the people that they might observe his statutes and keep his laws. Praise ye the Lord. And let's pray. Father, in the next 32, 33 minutes, I pray that you'd help us. You said, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. And tonight, we want to give thanks unto you. We've gone from hotels to warehouses to stinky business centers to this beautiful building. You've been so very good to us. We've seen thousands of people saved. We've seen lives changed. We've seen marriages spared. We've seen just miracle after miracle. I pray that you just help us tonight. Please, in Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. Tonight, I want to thank the Lord for Grace Baptist Church and all the great things that he has done unto us. Psalm 105, verse 1, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, make known his deeds among the people. Yes. Folks, you sit tonight in a very blessed church. Yes. We've had our first official weekend in our new building. And we're spoiled rotten. Matter of fact, some of us smell like it. May I say this? What a great thing God has done for us. Look what God's done already, just in one weekend. And please don't take this the wrong way. We had more visitors today than most churches see in a year. One day. We saw more people saved today than 42,000 Southern Baptist churches saw all last year. 42,000 Southern Baptist churches never had one convert last year. We had four today. It's been a long journey. But I thank God for each and every step and each and every battle along the way. Number one, that they're over. It's not all been easy, and not all of it's been enjoyable. But it's been worth every step. Amen. Been worth every mile. We've added new people all along the way. By the way, if you came today and this is your first day, let's get excited about it. If you've been here for the whole journey, for 6.5 years, the 23 of you that are still here, let's get excited about it. You don't have to have been here the whole journey to feel worthy of the excitement. It's exciting. It's wonderful. We're all a part of Grace Baptist Church equally.
Yes, sir.
By the way, that's what family's all about. Whether you're New Edition or the Patriot, Brother Barnes, can we turn this down just a hair? I don't know what it is, but I feel like it's, is it loud out there? Mung, I'm not talking to you. I didn't ask about temperature. All right, maybe just turn my monitor down just a hair, and it might be just up here. That's better, right? Wherever you put that, don't touch it, or I'll break your finger. Super. Thank you, Brother Barnes. We're adjusting, and we're learning. I get it. Humidity levels are changing, and it's going to take us a while, but it's okay. That's called growing pains. Can I tell you something? We need to learn to open up our arms and accept everybody as family. We had a lot of visitors. I could read you a text from somebody that visited today. They said the building was lovely, but the warmness of the welcome and the warmness of the people made it heavenly. And we'll be back. I'll take that over a nice building any day. I thank God for our nice building. I thank God that I have an office that I can move in. I thank God I have an office you can come into, and we don't have to say excuse me just because we had to move. I get it. it's been a journey. But may I say this? Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. Started in a hotel conference room. Went from one hotel to another, from one conference room to another, and sometimes showing up and somebody was in our conference room. And the hotel people said, we don't have a room big enough. And I said, you'll find one. Because we're going to put a bunch of people somewhere, and you're not going to like where I put them, and nor would I say when I'm there. Do you remember when I started baptizing in the hotel pool?
Yeah.
And the little guy came out and said, oh, you can't do that. We have paying customers here. That was the wrong thing to say. I said, excuse me, I pay triple what these pay per night. And he looked at me. I said, go talk to your boss about this. And we baptized. And little Twinkle Toes ran away. And his boss called me the next morning and said, she said, Pastor, I need to call and apologize for one of my employees. They had no right to tell you what they told you last night, and he's going to get on the phone next and call you and apologize. I said, it's okay. I said, I did okay till he said we had paying customers. I said, that's what put me over the top with it. She said, oh, I set him straight. You won't have to say any more. I remember those days. It was exciting. Can I tell you something? We were never quite sure where we were supposed to be, but we knew God was going to be there. We knew God was going to do something. We had nursery and hotel rooms. Y'all remember? Some of you ladies were fighting for the nursery so you could watch TV during church. I mean, that's not true. And then we found the old IRS warehouse building and got into there. And boy, we grew a little, we lost a little, we grew a little, we lost a little. And it was $9,000 a month at a time and $25,000 extra every year at the end of the year. And boy, it was getting expensive. We were paying about $150,000 a year to rent that building. You can't get ahead doing that. And an ugly old warehouse. In the summer, it was as hot could be with 30-foot high ceilings in there. In the winter, it was freezing. And the preacher didn't know you don't leave propane gas on like you do electric heat. And we drained 3,000 gallons of propane and had to fill it up in the middle of winter. That was not a good thing either. But we didn't have the money to build. And I knew the Lord wanted us to build. I knew the Lord didn't want us to buy that piece of property, for sure and for certain. And we crammed into Aiken Center. And I mean crammed. The week we moved, one of our good men, Brother Ray Craig, the day after we moved into that building, was up in Pennsylvania driving and hit a black bear and turned his tractor trailer over and burned to death. Folks, we've seen a lot of things happen. I'm skipping through a lot. We moved into Aiken Center. We had less than $1,000 in the bank. To God be the glory. Before this morning, we had about $135,000 sitting in the bank, and we're in our new building with all the bills paid. You say, how'd that happen, preacher? God.
Amen.
God. God helped us find this 4 acres of property for $89,000. That land over there, 13 acres, they want $550,000 for. It's about $50,000 an acre. The land between Sheets and the old grocery store down there, they want $150,000 an acre for. We got 4 acres for $89,000. Say, how'd that happen? God. And then it took us about 8 months to be able to pay for it, raise the money for it, and we still got it for the same price. Then we had to find money for architects and engineers and engineers and engineers and engineers and engineers and more money for engineers. We just decided we're going to jump in by faith. We'd go as far as we could go till we ran out of money. And it seemed like every time that I had to say, whoa, God said, here you go. God would give us a little more. We'd go a little farther. And then we run out of money and God said, here you go. We went through 11 different banks before we got a loan. I was about to shoot every banker in town. As I said this morning, I don't know how to say it, but God's given us over $310,000 cash in the process. Not with our regular tithes and offerings either. That's outside. And just so you know, I haven't asked anybody for anything.
That's good.
I haven't even gone to you most of the time to tell you what we needed. Just that we had a need, just pray. Never told you how much or what. Say why? Because that's God's business between him and I, not anybody else's.
Right.
Mr. Bossy today hugged me at the restaurant. He said, you are the stubbornest, hardest man to find out what needs you have. I said, no, I'm not. Just talk to God. He'll tell you. He said, that's what I'm talking about. He said, you'll never tell me what you need. I said, you're not God. I said, Mr. Bossy, I love you. You're my friend, but I'm not telling you. I said, if you want to do something, you're going to have to talk to him and let him tell you what you're supposed to do because I'm not asking.
Right.
He said, you're the only preacher in America I know like that. I said, it's okay. I said, but you just sat through my church service. We did okay, didn't we?
Amen.
Can I tell you something? Through all this, I promised you, if we would stay after people, stay after seeing lives changed, God would do it.
Amen.
Look what God hath done. I promised you. I'm not God. God knows that, and the world's glad. We built through the wettest summer in history. We averaged 36 to 40 inches of rain. We had 84 inches of rain last year. We have Lake Grace out front. Pond Grace building. We had to have this building re-engineered. Cost us $21,000 extra to re-engineer the building because the first engineers that went out of business messed it up. They had the front corner of this building hanging over the water retention pond. What a mess. Can I tell you something? We learned something. Church is not a building, it's the people.
Yes, sir.
Say, how'd you learn it? It's right there. I promise you, we'll stay after people. We'll pay somebody else to build the building, and we're going to stay after souls. We've seen over 1,400 people saved since we started this process. There has not been a seven-day period in 6.5 years where somebody did not get saved through the ministry of this church. Not one seven-day period. That's not an average. Not one week has passed without somebody getting saved. I haven't led them all to the Lord, but we've stayed after them. God has proven himself miraculously. Now, let me take the next 16, 17 minutes. Let's give thanks to the Lord for all he's done. Let me show you three thoughts and I'm done. Number one, God says in Psalm 105, he said, "Let God take care of our enemies and our critics." Verse 13 says, "When they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong, yea, he reproved kings for their sakes." Can I tell you something? To the critics, let them criticize.
Amen.
I'm gonna say something to you. I love you enough to tell you the truth. If somebody criticizes your preacher, if somebody criticizes your church, just walk away. Don't say anything. Quit stepping down to be the critic of the critics. You are no better than the critic if you criticize the critic. Let God take care of it. Did you know God's better at it than you are? See, but I'll feel so much better, preacher. No, you won't. No, you won't. I'll promise you, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. You're not God, let God take care of the critic. Just say, God bless you, we love you. By the way, I'm not afraid to say this. There are people sitting in this room today that have criticized your church, that have criticized your pastor, and at times hated me, that have now joined our church. We have won some of our enemies back. That's sweeter than saying what you wanted to say when you were mad. Everybody doing okay?
Amen.
You don't need to lower yourselves to battle the enemy. Let God take care of the enemy. Let's keep helping reaching people and let God take care of the enemy. Did you know that God's brought a lot of people here to help us? God brought Brother and Mrs. Bulkley here to speak to our ladies, and she to speak to our ladies. And Brother Bulkley came, and he was going to preach, but he jumped in and helped park cars today. Thank God for that. Did you know that when we first started this church, people sat in the parking lot of the hotel from other churches taking attendance of who was going into our church? I walked up to their car one day and said, "Do you want my attendance list? It's probably more accurate than yours." Boy, did they come out of the parking lot in a hurry then. I'm not lying. I had an entire deacon board from another church in our area call every member or most every member in our church to try to draw them back into their church and criticize me for calling their church members. And I had never made a phone call or visit one. I've had people threaten my life and threaten my family's life. I had people try to set my house on fire. I've had people, thank God my enemies aren't real smart, Brother Bulkley. They only know four-letter words. But they wrote them all over my vehicles many a time. Thank God they don't know how to spell very much. I've had to go to the car wash at 5:30 in the morning, wash my car off so that when you came to church, you didn't see what was written on my vehicles. But it's okay. Say, what'd you do, preacher? Got up and preached. Saw people get saved.
Yeah.
I know this has never happened to you, but I've even had people be rude to me in public. Guess what? It's not going to change. Let's not get in the mud throwing. Because when you start throwing mud, you get just as dirty as the person that threw mud at you. And when you start complaining about the mud they threw and you throw it back, guess what? You're just as dirty as they are. And God says, how about we just start talking about how good he is and let him take care of the enemy? Yes. You know the best way to chase a critic away? Start talking about what God's doing.
Amen.
I'll guarantee it. They want to criticize your preacher, say, hey, guess what? We had over 30 visitors last Sunday in church. We had 4 people saved. We had a huge attendance. We got a brand new building. We have a lot of things God's done for us. I'll promise you one thing. They can't criticize that. Well, they can, but it won't do any good. Let's not get into a mud throwing contest. Let's let God take care of the mud. Number 2, Bible says in verse 24, it's time to increase greatly. We are about to grow. Look around. Our Sunday night crowd has grown already.
Amen.
We now have more people here on Sunday night than we used to have on Sunday morning.
Amen.
That's growth.
Yes, sir.
But it's about to multiply. That means this, no clicks.
Right.
It's not us 4 no more.
Right.
It's not you walk in, well, you're sitting in my seat. Well, sweetheart, your name's not on it. Find another one. Come sit in that one if you want. I'm not sitting there. As I said this morning, most churches have more people in the cemetery out back than in church. And it's about as cold as the cemetery, and most people already have their headstone picked out because their name's on their chair. Let's not be guilty of that. When the visitors come, it ought to be they get their hands shaken off. And by the way, not just because you think they have money. Executive vice president of the bank came to church this morning. I walked him in and said, excuse me, I need to go out here and greet my bus kids.
Yes.
I spent 60 seconds with him and I spent a long time with our bus kids. Tell you why. Because those bus kids are just as important as the banker is, and probably more because they come every week. Everybody doing okay?
Richard.
Yeah. It's time for us to all follow up on visitors. If you knew of visitors that came, follow up on them. See if you can get them back. So, how many of you know somebody was supposed to come today that didn't? Raise your hand. Guess what? There's prospects for next week. Let's go get them.
That's good.
Well, they didn't show up. Good. You got another week. Let's go get them.
That's right.
Doesn't it discourage you, preacher? No, that's more prospects. Do you know that every visitor that came and they come to our church and start coming regularly has a sphere of influence of more people? Let's go get them. It's time for us to reach our family and our friends and our neighbors. I had a neighbor here this morning. He's a Catholic man. Got saved at a funeral I preached and built that sign out there that has the latitude and longitude of our church on it. Got saved at a funeral and was so impressed, came to church today. He walked out and he said, Pastor, what a beautiful building. And wow, that was a sermon. My wife said, yeah, he didn't hear one like that at Catholic church. I said, no, he didn't. I'm almost afraid to go home and talk to him, you know. I'm labeled for sure now. You know, God has given us this beautiful building, not just so we can look at it. He gave it to us to fill it up. And to help people. The enemy may have thought he had us down. Guess what? We're going to use it to reach more people. This is not for a few people in our church. This is for every member of our church. I'm not talking to 3 or 4 or 5 or 6. I'm talking to the entire Grace Baptist Church. Everybody here can reach somebody. Everybody here can help somebody. Everybody here has a job to do, even if it's sitting on your blessed assurance because you're too unable to get up, but you can at least greet people when they walk by your row. Had a lady come to me and said, uh-oh, emergency alert. Brother Bulkley owes me a pizza now. Man, even the top of your head turns red when you're embarrassed. Sorry, brother. No way to get out of that one, is there? Oh, can I tell you something? Everybody here can do something. Had a lady come to me and she said, "Preacher, I'm going to keep those bathrooms clean for you. My ministry is going to be making those bathrooms clean for everybody." Well, that's a good ministry, but I'm glad for that. And let's keep them clean, but let's also reach people too in process. Number three, I'll finish with this. Psalm 105, verses 44 and 45. I love this. Look at this carefully. It says, "And gave them the lands of the heathen," watch this, "and they inherited the labor of the people, that they might observe his statutes and keep his laws. Praise ye the Lord." God will continue to bless if we keep working on by faith. Bible says here that when the Jews took over the Canaan land, it was at harvest time. God had used the labor of the Canaanites to bring forth the labor to where it was ready to be harvested. And the Jews came in and took of the fruit of the land, and they did not earn it. They didn't plant the crops, but they got to harvest the crop. Can I tell you something? God gave the Jews the spoils of the labor from the Canaanites. We just need to keep on going and get the spoils that God has for us. I led 4 construction men to Christ on this work site while they were building this building. I stood right back there in front of where the PA booth is, and the man that built my home came over and wanted to see this building. Stood right back there, talked to him after we had walked through this building, was all framed out, and I won him to Christ. I'm going to get him in church. He lives in Boonesboro. Scott, where you at? He doesn't live far from you. Oh, get him. Say, why? Because God's going to give us people if we stay after people. This ministry is not about a building. As I said this morning, it's not a memorial, it's a commission. It's not a shrine. This is a hospital. This is a people factory. We're going to be pumping them in, pumping them out. Listen to this very carefully here. We have to be willing to obey his word and do it his way, not our way. Too many churches are what I call Burger King Christianity. Have it your way. Too many churches, churches now and colleges are now teaching, go take a survey and find what people want in a church and build a church based on what the people want. Can I tell you something? God told us what church should be.
Yes, sir.
I don't mean this the wrong way. Don't care what you want. I care what God wants.
Amen.
Stood there at the back door greeting people as they left today, and that big old fella reached out and grabbed my hand. He said, "I hadn't heard preaching like that in a long time." I said, "Sorry. I wanted to say I can't help where you went to church." I didn't. That's nice. He said, "But I'll be back."
Awesome.
Say why? Because people are tired of getting their ears tickled. They want to hear the truth.
Yes,
you don't have to be rude about it, but people need to hear the truth. We need everyone to be faithful to church. I think you ought to be here Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, as much as you can.
Amen.
Everybody needs Sunday school. You know, we had more people in Sunday school this morning than we had in church last week. That's the way it ought to be.
Yes, sir.
Then let's have more people in Sunday school next week than we had this week. If everybody that came to Sunday school this morning comes back next week, and some of you that didn't come, should come next week, we'll have more.
Amen.
I think everybody ought to be in Sunday night church. Say why? We need preaching.
Yes, sir.
Amen. It's God's day, not your day. Sorry. I mean this with all my heart. Dr. Lee Robertson used to say it this way, it takes three to thrive. You'll eat three times a day. Some of you won't go to church three times in a week. Dr. Robertson, three to thrive. Need Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, three to thrive. He had it right. Pastored for 42 and a half years and baptized 1,000 people every year. When he retired and the wrong man took over, that church is no longer a church and the college is gone. Went back to the Southern Baptist Convention and now it's called the Church of the Highlands. Rock and roll community church. How sad. It's time for us all to read our Bibles on our own and pray on our own. Well, I just don't understand it all, preacher. Just keep reading it. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you. It'll go in. Well, I'm a little thick-headed. Who's not? It's time for all of us to get busy and get involved. I'm so proud of our folks. They were picking up and vacuuming today and cleaning bathrooms. And I'm thinking, I didn't ask anybody to do anything. They just jumped in, saw a need, and here we go, preacher. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. I've got to quit. The Bible says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Make known his deeds among the people. Can I tell you the greatest thing? Four people are on their way to heaven that were on their way to hell before today started. Can I tell you something? Who's going to be in heaven because of this week? Who? We're all going to have needs. And I'll be there to help you the best I can. But I've learned something. The more I help people, the more I get strength to carry the needs I have. When you bear a burden, you get stronger. Looking at a burden doesn't make anybody stronger. You can go to the gym and look at the weights, but it won't make you stronger. It doesn't make you stronger until you start picking them up. Well, I don't want my kids to ever struggle. I don't want my grandkids to ever struggle. And that's why we have a weak generation.
Amen.
You get strong by struggle.
Amen.
You teach a boy to be strong by having him pick things up that's bigger than he thought he could pick up.
Right.
Make him grunt and groan and moan and sweat and toil and work. Same thing's true spiritually. You got to grunt and groan and carry it, and eventually you get strong enough and you understand it a little better. I didn't understand everything I was supposed to understand. I was proud of Michael. He said something to me in my office tonight. He figured something out just being here this weekend. It was growth. Thought he got it. He got it. It was worth it. He's not a finished product. Don't criticize him. He doesn't know everything this preacher knows. Say why? I've been doing it almost twice as long as he's been alive. Guess what? He might make it. No, let me rephrase that. He will make mistakes this summer. Say, how do you know? Because I'll make mistakes this summer. Nobody's perfect.
That's right.
How many did you make this week? Ouch. Yeah, this church has so much for which to be thankful. We have something special. Can I tell you something? I've been in a lot of churches. There's not many. I could probably count on that hand the number of churches that have the kind of spirit this church has.
Yes, sir.
We have something special.
Yes,
I'm special. No. Sorry, it was there. You all related to it real well too, didn't you? Can I tell you something? We've got something sweet and something precious. You say, how do we make it better, preacher? Go get somebody and share it with them. Bring them back. Introduce them to the rest of us and make sure you take your meds. folks, we've... we've worked the recipe. Guess what? It still works.
That's right.
It still works. We're proving to this area and to everybody around that there's something happening down there. I'll promise you, when we go to the bank this week, it's going to be a different attitude. You say, why? Because they thought we were nuts. Now they know we are. Does that bother you? Nope. I have no desire to be like the world. None. None whatsoever. Folks, you say, what are you going to do for our young people? Well, I'm bringing him on board to help me with our teenagers and get them fired up this summer. And they're going to be out soul winning. They're going to be having activities. They're going to start some singing and some groups and stuff. And we're going to do some great things with it. But can I tell you something? They're not going to be running around with purple hair and green hair and girls looking like boys and boys looking like girls. They're not going to wonder what bathroom to go into. And they think we're weird? They, folks, it's real easy. It takes about that long to figure out male or female. Okay, it's not rocket science. Your birth certificate didn't say to be determined. We have an awful lot for which to be thankful.
Yes, sir.
I don't know about you, I don't want to be like the world.
Amen.
Did you see what's out there? They're a bunch of weird people. I was going to the airport. It was a BWI. I was walking in this. I'm not even sure what it was. It was kind of half man, half woman, half ape. And it had all different kinds of colors on it, on its head. And I was walking through, and I had my shirt and tie on, and it was just looking at me. And I'm thinking, I'm just looking at it. He said, "You looking at me?" I think it was a he. Again, I'm not sure. I said, "I'm looking, but I'm not sure at what." He said, "Man, you're weird."
Yeah.
Brother Bulkley, I just laughed. I mean, I just started laughing. And there was one of the black fellas that works there that kind of works service and stuff that was there pushing one of those giant carts. I'm just sitting there laughing at the thing. He walked over and he said, "He called you weird?" I said, "That's what I'm laughing about." He stood there and just started laughing with me. I gave him gospel track. He was a Christian man. He said, "He called a preacher weird?" I said, "I guess when you run with what he runs, it runs with, they don't know what normal is." Folks, I don't have any desire to be like that. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Make known his deeds among the people. How about you go to work and talk about how great church was this weekend? How about you go to school and talk about how great church was this weekend? How about you go into the neighborhood when you're out mowing the grass or working in the flower beds and you're talking to the neighbor and talk about how good God was this week? You'd be surprised, you start talking like that, what happens? Brother Chris and I stopped in my old neighborhood and went and knocked on the door of my neighbor. Let him know we were finally in the building yesterday. She was so excited, I believe we'll get him in church over it. Say, why? Because I talked about how good God was to my neighbors. My neighbor was here this morning. You say, why? Because we talk about how good God is. It works, folks. Say, how do you know, preacher? God said it would. God said it would. It'll be okay. They said, well, they might think I'm weird. Remember where you're at. It's not weird. I promise you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We have begged God for 2.5, almost 3 years for this place. How about we make the next 2.5 or 3 years us thanking God for it and doing something about it? Amen. We ought to take as much time to thank him for it as we did begging him to get it. So Say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon, something I needed tonight. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Many, many, many hands. You may put them down. In the minute the piano begin to play, when it begins to play, if you need to use this old-fashioned altar tonight, you come. Maybe you just need to ask God to help you. Maybe you need to get on your knees and just thank God for a while for this church. But